Well, hi, what? What are you doing? Don't want to talk? Okay, come on.
It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always, always, always begins. I'm going to close this door so there's no draft. There we go. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Preventing Drafts Committee so that I don't get my muscles seizing up. Because it is cold again outside today. It is, in fact, snowing a little bit. I am also the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, which starts right now. As soon as I get this blanket spread out over my legs just right, so that Pippa... Come on! So that Pippa can do some kitty stuff. You want to do kitty stuff while I do Dubious Goals Committee? You want to be Kitty Dubious Blanket Committee? Well, come on, get on the blanket. Pippa's not getting on the blanket. You want to get on the blanket or not? Okay, I'm just going to ignore you until you do something. That's a good strategy. Thanks, Tobe. I knew you would think so. I'm going to grab my teacup and move it over here, so it's easier to reach. And now, I'm taking off the lid. Because this is one of those first tea drinks of the day type of shows. I did get up a little bit early. Sort of. Early for me, anyway. And the cat's walking away. Okay, where are you going? Anyway, what you need to know is I'm about to drink the first tea of the day. I'm really thirsty. Is it going to be too hot? Oh, no, it's not. Well, kind of. Oh, it's delicious. Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, I need that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so delicious. All right, well, I'm sitting here, and I'm watching the Gilmore Girls again. Lorelai and Rory are sitting on the couch, talking to Emily. These are the three Gilmore Girls. Oh, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. I'm not listening to the sound. Because I'm way too busy drinking this tea. Which I find delicious. And it is good. Oh, yeah. Okay, the cat has left the room. That means I can remove myself from the blanket business here. But I'm really just gonna shift over onto my side. Okay, that's better. Oh, yeah. That was putting a little strain on my hip there, but now I'm good. All right. Gotta tell you something. I had this dream last night / this morning. I had this dream that, man, I cannot get it out of my head. I cannot shake it. I'm still thinking about it. And I woke up an hour ago. Oy. This was a weird dream in which our hero, your little Tobster, was in a large complex, and I didn't really know where I was, but I wasn't worried about it. You know, it was just one of those things where I was just there and I wasn't concerned. And I'm not sure what this place was. It was very large. There were lots of hallways, and there were a lot of people in it, and it had all the earmarks of being a shopping mall or a large school or a museum. And all I was doing was walking around, and I was looking at stuff, and I found an area with a swimming pool, and there might have been areas with classrooms, but I think there was stores too, because I was just walking around and there was lots of people. And there was a bunch of stuff that led up to this. This was a very long dream. But the only part I remember towards the end was, you know, I was walking around and I was just sort of just checking things out. No stress, no fear. This wasn't a nightmare or anything. You know, I'm just walking around, checking stuff out because, well, that's what I do. And then I saw a girl. And she had blonde hair cut in a short bob. And I'm trying to remember it. At one point in time, was she carrying an umbrella in one hand? But she was walking around reading a book. She was holding a book in her right hand. And the book was very strange. The book was, first of all, it was twice as wide as it was tall. And it was very thick, like 2 inches thick. And the weird part of it was that it was purple. And I don't mean the cover of the book was purple. I mean the whole book was purple. The cover was purple. Every page was purple. And it was just this purple blob. And the only two things I could... Well, there was three things I could think. It's like, oh, look, she's cute. And the other thing was, what a weird book. How can she read that book? You know, because if the pages are purple, you know, it wasn't like it was printed in white ink. So how do you see the words on the page? And then at one point in time, the book was also like clear or at least translucent. Like holding a big brick of purple jello or something. It was weird. And the other weird part of it was, is she was reading this while she was walking. And she wasn't like holding it in front of her and looking down at the book and occasionally looking up. She was holding the book directly in front of her face. But walking along in these busy hallways full of people and shoppers and whatever was going on. It was very odd. What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And like I said before, at one point in time, she might have been carrying an umbrella in her other hand, in her left hand. Which, again, if we were indoors, why the umbrella? It was weird. And then, okay, so I saw the girl, and then, you know, I sort of thought in my mind, oh, that's odd. I wonder what book that is, right? And then at some point in time, I saw her later. I was walking around. I was like, oh, there's that girl again. She didn't have the umbrella that time. She was just holding the book still. And yeah, at one point in time, I found the band room. Oh, yeah, that was right at the end of the dream. I was walking down one hall and coming from like left to right. I mean, right to left. I don't know, right and left. The girl walked by again, and I was like, oh, there's that girl with her book again. And I got to that cross hallway, and I looked in the direction she came from, and there was just a staircase leading down to a double set of double doors. And there was a sign above it that said, you know, like the band rehearsal room or something. And I thought, oh, here's the band room. And then I woke up. Either then or shortly thereafter. It was weird. Why is it still on my mind? I don't know. I do not know. Good tea, though. Yummy, yummy tea. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm really into this today. Oy. Yeah, so anyway. That's the exciting thing that happened to me while I was sleeping. I do enjoy some excitement as I sleep. It was pretty fun. Ooh, I see a Cabedon. I'm watching Gilmore Girls. It's nighttime in the summer. Okay. Remember, this takes place in a tiny town. A real small town. It's summertime. Nobody's wearing any coats. They're all light summer clothing. It's nighttime. And since the sun doesn't set until, you know, about 9:15, after 9 o'clock in the summer, we know that this scene is taking place after 9 p.m., but there's dozens of people walking around in the town square. The grocery store is still open. Am I supposed to believe that and there's 8 other people in this tiny, tiny grocery store after dark in a tiny, small... This is not how it works. This is not a reality-based television show. Why am I watching Gilmore Girls? Because the football game doesn't start for another hour and a half. Yeah, I've got one game today. What is it? City? Manchester City game, I think? Or is it? Yeah, that's right. Yummy good tea. Yummy good tea. Yummy, yummy. So last night I watched some cool stuff on YouTube. Including a thing about Nadia Comaneci, or Nadia Comaneci, depending on, you know, what side of Romania you're from. And it was a 10-minute sort of documentary of what's Nadia Comaneci doing today? Well, she lives in Norman, Oklahoma. That's not too far from here. I could drive down there. How long does it take to get to Norman? I don't know. Is it a day's drive? Is it an 8-hour drive? I don't know. Norman, Oklahoma, home of the Sooners. They are the enemy, back in the 70s, they were the enemy of Nebraska. The Nebraska Cornhuskers football team. Nah, nah, nah. All right, so you might be wondering, who the hell is Nadia Comaneci? If you're not as old as I am, you might not know. And I'm trying to think, when was that? When did the whole Nadia thing go down? Was that 1976? It was around then. Mid-70s. And if you don't know, Nadia Comaneci was a gymnast from Romania, which... of course, at that time was part of the Soviet Union. And there were some Olympics. And she went to the Olympics. And she is the greatest gymnast ever. The only gymnast to ever score a perfect 10 in a gymnastics routine. Nobody's done it since. Nobody had done it before. But they've also changed the rules since then. So blah, blah, blah. She scored a couple of perfect 10s, and she won 5 medals in gymnastics. And I just thought she was super cute. Because, well, I think everybody's super cute. So, I always did sort of wonder what happened to her. Well, to make a long story short, or at least a 10-minute story, you know, a couple minutes, she eventually escaped from Romania. Then, of course, there was the revolution in Romania, and everything then went to hell when the wall came down, but blah, blah, blah. She came to America, moved to Norman, Oklahoma. Norman, Oklahoma, of all places. That just cracks me up. Just because I vaguely know Norman. And she married Bart Connor. Actually, when she escaped from Romania, I think she went to Montreal first. Then she came to the United States, married Bart Connor in there somewhere, and then moved to Norman, Oklahoma, because I think Bart Connor's from Norman, Oklahoma. And if you don't know who Bart Connor is, Bart Connor is like the most famous and greatest American male gymnast ever. And he was really good. I remember seeing him compete a number of times. And blah, blah, blah. So they have children. They have livestock in Norman. And they split their time living in, you know, like Budapest and Norman, Oklahoma. Now that is a weird combination. I have two homes. Budapest. Ooh, wow, you're European and fancy and ooh, very interesting. What's the word I'm looking for here? How exotic. Oh, and we also have a home in Norman, Oklahoma. Go Sooners. What? How local. They have a kid. How old's that kid? I don't know. But I'm starting to wonder, is that going to be like the gymnastics super baby? Is that kid in gymnastics? Because he's got the genetics for it. Super children. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, still waiting for those messy babies? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. How many more years do I have to wait? How old are the kids now? Geez, we might have 10 to 12 years to go. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the one thing you need to know is that the greatest football player of all time is a guy named Diego Maradona. He hasn't played in 20 years. He's from about a generation ago. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, oh, no, Pele. Pele's the great. No, Pele is one big lie. What? Yeah. Well, we won't go into that. And then there are some Maradona detractors who will say, the hand of God. And I will say, so what? It happens to everybody at least once. Get over it. Don't act like Pele is some saint. But anyway, Maradona retired from football, had got married, had children, has a daughter. The daughter married a guy named Lionel Messi, who is the greatest football player still active and will probably go down in history as the greatest player ever once he retires. Leo Messi married Maradona's daughter. They have children. Imagine the genetics. Those children are going to be the greatest football players ever. Football super babies. I mean, even a mad scientist couldn't come up with a better plan to make football super babies. And this just happened naturally, totally organically. Wow. Messy super babies. So the super babies are out there, people. The super babies are out there. We got gymnastics super babies with Nadia and Bart Connor. We got the messy super babies. Now I'm starting to wonder, when are we going to get like the rock star super babies, right? I want two musicians to get married and have super babies. And about the closest thing we have is, didn't Scott Ian marry Meatloaf's daughter? Or are they still together? I don't know. Did they have any children? I don't know. Okay, so we could have a rock star super baby there. And there's a couple of other potential maybes. But I don't know. I don't know. Why am I worried about the super babies? Investment. That's why. Oh, if you're going to put your money anywhere, put it on the super babies. That's what I always say. And always take a free bet. If you need any more financial advice or, you know, gambling tips, feel free to contact me at my email address here at Super Dimension Fortress, tobe@sdf.org. I'll tell you everything you wanted to know, and probably more so. Yeah, so what are we going to do now? Well, I think I'm going to drink a little bit more tea, kind of like this. And drinking tea always makes me want to listen to The Clash. How's that for a segue? Yeah, that was terrible, but you loved it. So let's listen to some Clash. What do I want to listen to today? Oh, I know. For my dream last night, since I seemed to be lost in the supermarket or the museum, we're going to listen to Lost in the Supermarket by The Clash. And if you're wondering, gosh, Joe and Mick and the rest of the boys, what supermarket are you lost in? Well, I always assumed it was Waitrose. And if you don't get that joke, ask your English friends. Don't make me laugh. Oh my God. All right. Have you had enough Clash yet? I know I haven't. Let's get some Rudy. Rudy Can't Fail. Some good stuff. That's an interesting version of that song, not one that I listen to most of the time, but still great nonetheless. And I'm done, kids. It's over. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single freaking day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio, the streaming radio service of the Superdimension Fortress. My name is Tobe. I have been your chairman and chief tea drinker. Tune in tomorrow. Who knows what'll happen? But as for me, I'm gone. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of